Welcome to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I am not Bob Prescott. I am Gary Snyder, your host. He is the person you want to hear from, Huntington North Vikings head coach, Bob Prescott. Welcome to your own show.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be talking with you and talk about our Viking football program.
Well, let's move right into this past week's game. You had DeKalb coming to town, close through three quarters, and they kind of pulled away in the fourth. Talk a little bit about the game and what happened.
Well, we knew we were going to play a very good football team in DeKalb. They were 4-1 coming in, a big, physical, strong team. It's got a lot of experience back. Everything was good. We had the homecoming week. We had the pep session that was outstanding. And then all of a sudden, the rain starts to come in after school, and there's lightning, and there's storms, and the lightning just kept coming. And we got into a point where we got into a delay a little bit. Kept moving it back, started with a half-hour delay to 7:30, then moved it to 8 o'clock, and then the radar started looking better. One of the things we were running into is that we had to, from DeKalb's perspective, we had to start the game at 9 o'clock. They have a transportation policy for their school corporation. So we were going to have to start that by 9. Our officiating crew that was here already had another game scheduled for Saturday. So it got kind of dicey, but the weather moved through and we was able to get started.
Coach, let me ask you something, because you see this so often in the pros, some in college, some in high school. When you get a long weather delay like that, in your case, about an hour and a half, is there anything you do different with the team, especially maybe since you haven't already started the game? It wasn't an interruption of the game. It was just a delay of the start.
Yeah, you know, being a guy that's got a lot of gray and white hair and getting long in the tooth, I've had to go through a lot of these kinds of experiences. And the best thing we try to do is just keep our kids relaxed. And I thought our kids done a great job of that in the locker room. They were laying down on the floor and relaxing, and I thought they done a fantastic job with that. You know, it's a whole different story when you've already started warm-ups or you're ready to get in the kickoff, and emotionally you're all charged up, and now you got to relax and get recharged back up again. But you know, I thought our kids handled that real well. It was nice to be able to do it at home versus having to be on a road in a smaller locker room. So, you know, if it's going to happen, I'd rather have it happen here.
There's nothing with the game prep, though. You just kind of let them relax and then get ready to go out and play.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's different, because that window's a lot shorter, we didn't have our normal warm-up time that we would normally have. So you adjust the warm-up period, and, you know, now they've got in a normal day, we would be a little slower in trying to get them to slowly start to build and get ready for a 7 o'clock kickoff. But when you tell them, hey, we're going to roll here in 40 minutes, you know, now they've got to speed everything up with the psyche and getting their emotions all cranked up so they're ready to kick off. That's probably the biggest change. But like I said, I thought they handled well, just staying relaxed. Then we come out, we're ready to come out of the locker room after our warm-up period, and then our lights went off for some reason. And so we're out there and it's dark, and because of the way the lighting system's configured, you've got to let them cool back down a little bit. And so the only light we had going was while it was coming off the scoreboard. And so that was kind of a neat thing. And our kids on Saturday talked about how what kind of a cool experience that part of it was. And that was something I'm sure they'll remember for a long time. But when we got the lights back on and got started, Our kids played hard, but they just came out and kind of pounded us and moved down the field and got the first score. And, you know, that's tough. That's not the way you want to start, but our kids battled and we got a few first downs and we got the ball back, but couldn't put a long drive together. And then, after the first quarter, I believe at 50, we backed an extra point and they scored. And then in the second quarter, they had a bad snap go over their head on a punt, and we were able to capitalize on it and string three really good offensive plays together. And we're in the end zone. We kicked the extra point, and we're up 7-6. And so as much of a struggle as it was to move the ball at times, and that's credit to them, their physical size and strength that they had. We're still ahead, and they're driving late in the half. And they're down around the 10-yard line, and they call a timeout with just under a minute to go. And we just, you know, went out there at the timeout and told them, you know, great teams find ways to get stops here. And we were in a press coverage, and they threw a perfect ball. They've got a really good senior quarterback that had transferred in for them this year. And they were able to connect and go up 14-7 at the half. And then it was a scoreless third quarter. Again, one of those nights where we struggled to move the ball offensively. We tried to pass more than what we normally would like to do, but we've been working on that in our offensive structure. We had a hard time trying to move their defensive front. And so our yardage doesn't look real good. We had some sacks that we took. Reed was able to scramble. We did connect on some passes. But I still think with 5 or 6 minutes to go in the game, it's 14-7. And so our kids battled hard. They laid it all out there, gave everything they had. You just got to give credit to DeKalb. They were a bigger, more physical team that deserved to win by the way they played. But our defense played outstanding again, gave us opportunities. We've just got to find a way offensively to get it going.
Well, let's take a look at the offensive side of the ball. What did you like? What did you not like? And did anyone stand out for the Vikings?
Like I said, it was just hard for our offensive line as a younger offensive line. And because we're younger, we're not as strong as what we need to be right now. And they were big and physical. So it became tough. So we got into a lot of different formations that we haven't shown this year. We did get our warrior formation going, and that was a series where we scored that touchdown. Gary Johnson was able to score for us on a power play. Cam McCarver had got kind of his first carry on a sweep that we've been working on probably all the way back since August, but first time we used it in the game. Had a good play there. I thought Reed Johnson hung in there at quarterback and took a beating. You know, we're still trying to find ways to move Devin Newcomb around and let him get some touches and space. And, and he's understanding of that even though he heard their coaches on the sidelines talking to him, that they're going to do a lot of things to try to take him out of the game and limit their touches. And all, they're always going to find out where he's at. And I thought he stayed very positive and with the situation and understanding that frustration and not being able to shake free. But, we had one turnover on a fumbled snap exchange. We just got to get better and more consistent because we're going to go. And it's just because of our makeup of our team this year, especially our offensive line. We've just got to understand that we're going to go against bigger, stronger guys, and we've got to play with better technique and better leverage and better fundamentals and find a way to move the ball enough to get first downs. And so that ultimately is on me. I did not have our guys prepared enough for that, and we will do a much better job of making sure our offensive linemen are ready to go this week against Leo.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I am your host, Gary Snyder. He's the person you want to hear from, Coach Bob Prescott, head coach of the Huntington North Vikings. We're looking back at Huntington North's 26-7 loss to DeKalb. All right, we talked about the offense a little bit. Let's move to the defensive side of the ball. What'd you like? What did you not like? And who stood out for you on defense?
Well, we've talked before on the show. We're not very big on defense. I don't know that we've got a 200-pounder out there. But our kids play hard and fly to the ball and just bring it. And, again, they were big and strong and had a couple tough running backs. And I think field conditions played. They were a team, as we were preparing, had a lot of different formations and a lot of different looks. And I think they just got into a couple formations and said, hey, it's a sloppy field. It's really wet and getting muddy. We're just going to use our size and strength and try to pound it at us. And I thought our kids held up really well, had some good tackles. You know, the first touchdown, we didn't contain like we should have on the edge. We pointed that out on film to make that better. But, you know, our guys up front, which is Nick Jacobs, Aiden Dennis, Bailey Landrum, Noah Denny, and Jeremy Clark, all those guys rotate in and play, and along with Aiden Clossing, those guys do well. And then our stacks, I thought got better as the game went on. Aiden Rabbit, our Mike, and then our two stacks, and Isaac Hill and Nathan York. Early on, we're struggling with what was with their reads, but I thought they got better as the game went on. We used Cam Faust, and Cam McCarver came in and played some stack as well. Then we had three outside linebackers I thought that played really well. Keegan Landrum, and then Michael and Matthew Klein. And then our safety's been outstanding all year. And Jackson Holzinger, and he filled and had a lot of tackles coming downhill. And sometimes that's good when your safety's doing that because of scheme and what the opponent's trying to do. Other times you're hoping the ball's getting taken care of before your safety gets there. But he's always there when we need him, and so he played well. And then obviously our two corners and Lawson Scher and Devin have done well for us all year.
All right. Well, let's anything else you want to cover about the Cow before we get your choice for player of the game?
I'm just so proud of the way our guys come out and try to play and lay it all out there and play with their hearts and for not only for themselves, but for their brothers and their family and our team and our school and community. And I'm grateful to be a part of that. It's not easy, especially sometimes when you get in the game, you know, man, these guys are taking it to us a little bit and they're physically better. So I just like the way that our kids are competing every week.
Who'd you choose for a player of the game this week and why?
We're going with senior Nathan York. Nathan is a kid that we converted to a stack linebacker for us that has been a secondary player in the past. So he's moved from the back up into where there's more action. And, you know, Nathan's not the biggest guy in the world, but he's got a lot of heart and wants to do so well. And, you know, he's always very coachable and plays, gives everything that he's got. And we're just so grateful that he's around and part of it. He started for us all year and stepped up in there at times. And actually a couple of times those big linemen kind of trucked him and ran over him. But he'd done that to fulfill what he needed to do for the defense to be successful. But, you know, he's another one of our seniors that we're greatly going to miss. And just grateful for the leadership he provides to our team.
Hi, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show. I'm your host, Gary Snyder. He is the head coach of the Huntington North Vikings, Bob Prescott. All right, let's put the homecoming week behind us. Now we're moving into senior week. It's hard to believe that we're approaching the final home game of the season. Leo comes to town. What can we expect to see from Leo on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, Leo is one of the teams that's always at the top of the conference, and it's no different this year. They're 5-1. A lot of size across their offensive line. They've got an outstanding senior running back in Peyton Wall. They'll get into some shotgun spread stuff, and then they'll also get in double tight end, the old T formation, and just pound at you too. And so we've got to be ready for that, but we've definitely got to make sure that we try to stop the senior running back in Wall and know where he's accounted for. And then they've got a couple good athletes that they get out into the spread formation that can hurt you pretty good too if given the opportunity. They're 5-1. Their only loss has been to East Noble. And so it's another tall task for us, but we are definitely looking forward to it. It's our senior week, You know, on Saturday night, we had the seniors over to our house for a nice meal and just to hang out and talk. And what a great experience that was. Our seven seniors are great young men. And, you know, it's kind of strange. This is week seven, and it's our senior week because weeks eight and nine are on the road. And so, you know, we've got a lot of football that we still want to play. And there's a lot of stuff still on the table for us that we do everything you can for them and give them the recognition they deserve. But with the understanding, just because it's senior week doesn't mean that the season's over. There's still a lot of football that's going to be played, and we're going to continue to grow and get better and surprise some people with some wins.
All right, well, you've kind of went over what you expect Leo to do from the offensive side of the ball. When you guys line up on offense, what do you expect to see across the line of scrimmage from Leo?
They are a base 4-4 defense. The two tackles are bigger guys. They've got a 6-6 defensive end. He's not real thick, but he's just a long, langly guy that'll create some problems. They have linebackers that come downhill, so we'll need to make sure that we account for them. And then that really good running back is also at safety. So, you know, it's one of those things, because of what we do with our offense, it's kind of hard to tell exactly what they'll be in, but I expect them to be in some kind of four. You know, that's the thing with the Cal from last week. They got into something totally different and just said, we're going to put a bunch of big dudes in there and we're just going to come right at you. And, you know, it's kind of, you hear about it in the NFL that it's kind of a cookie cutter or a copycat league that once somebody figures somebody out on something that works for them, you better find a way to get that scheme stopped or everybody's going to start using it against you. So not that we're saying we're NFL level, but I do think coaches take a look at that film when they're preparing and say, hey, here's what an opponent done and had some success with it. So we've got to be able to figure that out on our end and just get better. So they're 4-4. They do a nice job on defense. So we've got to be prepared and find a way to move the chains and get some points on the board.
Anyone in particular stand out in your mind on the defensive side of the ball for Leo?
Their tackles play real well, and then their Mike linebacker is pretty good, and then that safety, who's a heck of an athlete, comes downhill. And so we just you know, for us, it's about staying on our blocks and get movement. And we had some guys come free on penetration. And you know, the interesting thing was our kids have kind of figured it out, our backs anyway, from Friday night with the Cal. You know, it was just one guy that wouldn't get his block, and it wasn't the same guy every time. But, boy, football is such an awesome sport because all 11 guys have to be on the same page, and it's got to work at the same time. And when one guy breaks down, it's seen, and you need everybody on the same page doing their job. So we're going to get better at that this week and take on those good defensive players that Leo has.
Anything else you want to discuss about the upcoming game with Leo before we move on to a little bit more of fun stuff here on your show?
It's a shame that the weather rolled in like it did for homecoming. I think there was going to be a really big crowd. So I just challenge our people in our community that if they have not come out and seen our young men play this year, that might be your last opportunity to do so here at home at Craigbaum Field. And so it would be nice to have a huge crowd here if we finish up the season.
All right. Well, we've got the business part taken out of out of the way. Let's have a little fun. We both I think picked Notre Dame last week. They rolled, shouldn't say roll over Virginia, but they ended up rolling over Virginia 35-20. Virginia, I was there, I was on the sideline. Notre Dame went in halftime behind. But boy, they came out, and you mentioned big players. Size and speed really showed in the second half with Notre Dame on the defense, especially from those defensive ends. And they forced four turnovers, returned one fumble for a touchdown, almost had the big guy run the second one in. and Notre Dame ended up rolling over Virginia.
And you know, we talked about that was a possible trap game for them. So, you know, they were able to work through that and come out victorious in the second half.
Yeah, and Notre Dame has Bowling Green coming to town on the 5th on Saturday. This should be a no contest as far as I'm concerned. A lot of the underclassmen getting an opportunity probably to play in the second half. And again, you mentioned trap games. This could be one. I don't think so, but you know, maybe they're looking ahead to that big rivalry with USC the following week.
Well, my hunch is that those guys remember the last time a MAC team came into Notre Dame to play last year, and they were fortunate to get a W when Ball State came up. So,
you know, I was kind of rooting for Notre Dame against Ball State. I didn't want it to be a blowout, and by the end, I was kind of rooting for Ball State. So all of my Notre Dame media cohorts, don't give me a hard time on that one.
Yeah. So I'm sure that'll be brought up all week, that you can't take the MAC team lightly. So I'm sure they'll be ready to play and play really well Saturday.
All right, the next game we have Purdue. They lost at home to the Golden Gophers. This game kind of surprised me a little bit, but Elijah Sindelar out with, it looked like, a shoulder injury, and Rondell Moore left the game too. So the Boilers attempted a comeback, but still fell short 38-31. They travel to Penn State next weekend. I'm going with the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I would too. I was happening to take a little bit of a break and from watching film on Leo, and happened to watch it. And both Sindelar and Moore got hurt on the same play. It was really strange, and you could just tell the whole stadium went quiet, and hats off to the Boilers to compete and find a way to try to come back and win at the end and come after it. But that happened fairly early in the game, and to recover with those two guys out speaks a lot. But they're going to be in pretty deep, and I would have to pick the Lions.
Finally, let's talk about the IU game. Boy, the Hoosiers gave Sparty everything they could ask for. It seems like that's the Hoosiers' calling is close but no cigar. Fell short to Michigan State. Looks like they traveled to, let me see here. I've got this pulled up. They have a bye week. So we don't even need to talk about the Hoosiers next week.
Well, that's probably coming at a good time for them to regroup. You know, they've battled and got some wins early. And it's always when you can go up to Michigan State and be in a game like they are with them, you know, at some point in time, you got to get one of those W's, but you love the way they compete, give them a chance to get everybody healthy with the little dings, and then get back after it and get some wins put together.
All right. Anything else you want to cover before we let you run for the week?
No, just looking forward to a great week with our young men that continue to work hard and grow every day and cherish every moment that I have with them. You get the opportunity, come out this week and watch our Vikings play. It's a great day to be a Viking.
Thanks a lot, Coach Prescott.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. You're listening to the Bob Prescott Coaches Show on Indiana Talk Sports on SB Nation Radio.